Welcome to Crossbody of Work. My name is Evan.
I am Javier.
This week, we look at a star of TNA's Knockouts division and one of the most unique characters probably in TNA wrestling. We're looking at ODB. Javier is doing her trademark taunt of grabbing her own breasts.
Slapping them.
Slapping them.
And it's amazing. I love ODB. She was one of my favorite knockouts from when I was watching TNA. And it wasn't even like her moveset or like the fact that she would smack her boobs. It was just like the energy. She just
the
had
aura.
This like frenetic energy to her that was so fun. I thought the 100%. Freaking taking a swig of the little flask was the coolest thing ever. Her like firing up because of that was just great.
She had go-go juice. Like she would drink her flask and gain powers.
It was great. Everything about it was good. And you know, she's one of those knockouts that that was there throughout my entire run, except for like there was a few months there.
There's a couple gaps gone. That we'll talk about. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, every time she would pull up again, I was always happy. It also helped that her name is ODB, and I love Old Dirty Bastard. So
yes. But the ODB in this instance stands for One Dirty Bitch.
That's great. I actually never knew what it's.
That's what the ODB
for.
Stands
That's
for.
Awesome.
Yes. So we're going to talk about ODB, the fact that she got her start early in her career, that she did make some TNA appearances, actually went to OVW when it was not a WWE, or when it was a WWE feeder program. I believe it was a WWE feeder program
it
at
was,
the time.
Though.
And then how she kind of established herself in TNA, into Impact Wrestling, and even a match that happened only a couple of years ago, still doing it, still kicking it in the Impact Knockouts division. Before we get started, make sure that you are subscribed on YouTube if you're watching there, or you can hit us up wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe there if you're listening as a podcast listener as well. Rate 5 stars, give us a thumbs up, whatever you'd like to do. It helps us out tremendously as we continue to grow on the way to WrestleMania. So you know a lot about ODB. I didn't know a ton. The reason that we even had the idea of covering ODB is because we had an episode on Awesome Kong a number of years ago now, and we had a match between Kong and ODB, and I remember coming out of that going, this woman's outstanding. She's energetic. She's excited. I want to see more. And so we were kind of brainstorming who to cover next. You threw in ODB, and I was like, I have been waiting for us to do an ODB episode after that one instance of seeing her against Kong.
Which is unfortunate, because I accidentally double-dipped on it.
No, it's a different match.
Is it?
I double-checked. Yeah, because we have their match against each other.
Is it a triple threat?
No, we have their match. There was a final resolution. Is that the TNA pay-per-view?
Yes, yes, that is.
Oh, no, they had a match at... They had a match at No Surrender. We have their match at Against All Odds. So this is the second of their series, I think. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that sounds
so
good.
So we're good. So
I thought I double-dipped. I was, like, concerned.
ODB, not her real name, obviously. Her name is Jessica Cressa. American professional wrestler, known, of course, as ODB. Has an athletic background, born in Minnesota. So her background is in ice hockey. That was some of her first
You know,
first
that
experience.
One tracks.
Yeah. She was the captain of the first girls team at her high school, played at St. Cloud State University for 2 years. Very cool. Ice hockey players, don't know if you know, tough as hell. So this tracks.
St. Cloud State, a school that I think actually is pretty good at hockey every year.
Yeah, named famously UMass. After Charlie St. Cloud, the wonderful Zac Efron movie.
Yes, who unfortunately lost his brother.
It was a weirdly sad movie.
Yes, but it's, you know, they faced UMass at one point during one of our runs towards the Frozen Four.
Frozen Four. So Cressa started watching professional wrestling as a child and has been on record saying she's watched wrestlers such as the Killer Bees, which I find very funny and maybe the first time anyone has ever name dropped the Killer Bees when asked about their wrestling fandom. I think that's great.
That's awesome.
If I asked you right now to name the Killer Bees, could you do it?
I don't even know who the Killer Bees are.
It was Jumpin' Jim Brunzel and B. Brian Blair.
I know B. Brian Blair by name.
They were a WWF team, and they were not bad. Not bad.
That's like Brian Danielson saying that his biggest like the people he was the biggest fans of when he was a kid were the British Bulldogs because of Matilda, the dog.
Yeah. This is me being a no, Shelton Benjamin's cool. Like, it doesn't matter that I'm a Shelton Benjamin stan. Shelton Benjamin had moves. This is like somebody being like, yeah, I got into wrestling because of Rico Constantino. Also, go watch our first episode of Ref Guess. If you're watching on YouTube, go watch that. It's a really good time. Also, Cressa wanted to be an American Gladiator, which is the dream.
Here's the thing. Like, I always thought as a kid I would be really good at those, like, because I would watch the Japanese version of American Ninja Warrior.
Okay.
So yeah. It was just Ninja Warrior. And it was like the dubbed over English commentary of like the actual Japanese event. And I would watch that. And like, I'd sometimes like do everything. And the reason why I thought I could do it is there's like a spider wall where you have to like go like that with both your arms and your legs.
Yeah,
like grip the wall and then like move your way up like this pretty much. And I could do it at my apartment, like the staircase that we had in our apartment, because they were so like finite. And I would like get up and I'd grip the walls with my hands and feet and I'd be able to do it. And I was like 10 years old. So the fact that I could do it, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to be on Ninja Warrior one day and all this stuff. And like looking back on that, I was insane.
When I was in university and I lived in residence in my first year, I had a test I would do to see if I was sober enough to go to the bar still after I'd been drinking, which was in the hallway to jump up, put my hands on one wall and my feet on the other. And if I could catch myself, it meant I was sober enough to go to the bar. And there was only one time that I jumped and I did not catch myself and I fell. And I was like, I have to go to bed. And I just went back to my room and I went to bed. So it's my fun little story about that that you reminded me of. American Gladiators, great show. Like,
yeah,
the Blaze and all the other cool.
I remember when they brought it back. That was that. That's my experience with the show. Is when they brought it back.
Yeah,
Terry Crews was one of the like
Hulk Hogan hosted it.
On the redo.
Yeah,
yeah. I remember Layla Ali.
Yeah, it was Hulk Hogan and Layla Ali were the hosts. God. Yeah, it was a wild time, and they had like Nitro, Gemini. There's actually a great documentary on Netflix about American Gladiators that you should watch. It's fascinating to see how they kind of came up with the concept and everything. It's really good. Cressa tried out for the first ever season of Tough Enough, WWF's Tough Enough.
Oh.
Made the top 25, but then missed the final cut. And then back in Minnesota, she began training. She worked with some independent wrestling promotions. She actually faced some male wrestlers because they did some intergender stuff. And notably, some names you've heard of: Sean Devari, Ken Anderson. So Mr. Kennedy, kind of cool.
Notable Minnesota guys.
Exactly. Her first national exposure in early 2003 is ODB Wrestling Trinity in Total Nonstop Action. And that's where we go first. NWA TNA Explosion, March 10th, 2004 versus Trinity. I do not know what this promo to start this is about. Can you explain?
I mean, Trinity says that she's not with Jeff Jarrett because I was watching TNA at this time because this was back when they were like weekly pay-per-views, I think.
Yeah.
But my assumption is that Jarrett, being the big heel, because he always was the big heel, was probably just like trying to get her to join his little ranks. And she was like
crew
teasing that she's not a part of it. She's her own woman.
Yeah.
Saying that she's tight with Vince Russo, who had come in there as one of the
just
bookers.
Showed up. Yeah.
I think he was the head booker at that point.
That makes sense.
And some dudes pulled up and basically G-checked her. Like, Vince Russo's Arg's boy.
Did you notice, like, the guy? I don't know who the guy was that was talking, but did you notice the identify any of the other guys around?
I was not paying attention to that.
Oh, Conan, R-Truth, and the last one was D'Lo Brown. Yeah, great crew. Three really good wrestlers.
We have no idea.
Not a clue who that man is. ODB is also going by the name Poison at this point. Cool name.
Yeah.
Cool gimmick.
That girl is Poison.
Thoughts on the match? Other than that, it's short.
It's very quick.
It's very quick.
I think for someone, on ODB's side, who is pretty limited in their training at this point. I mean, she's probably only been wrestling like a year or two or three at this point.
About 2 years at this point. Two or three.
Yeah, like, pretty solid.
Yeah.
The selling was on point, but as far as the offense goes, like it wasn't like a clunky match or anything. It was just quick.
She Poison gets some clotheslines in. She catches a Trinity crossbody for a fallaway slam, a move I love, and a move that ODB apparently does very well and very frequently.
She's also incredibly strong. She was picking up Trinity so strong. Effortlessly.
She is Minnesota strong. Like, you can tell, like, she is Minnesota strong. She's just
Brock Lesnar, whatever, way. Bro, whatever's in the water over there.
She is just that way. Here's the thing that I took away from this match. Poison gets Trinity on the shoulders. Trinity turns into a sunset flip, whatever. Then hits a 619.
Yeah. Follows that up with a moonsault.
I'm sorry. You hit a 619, and not like a, it's kind of a version of, you was like, I watched Rey Mysterio growing up, and God damn it, I'm doing a 619.
Growing up.
Do you think Conan taught her a 619?
Like, honestly, I would assume that's what it was. I think she took some influence from Rey as a WCW guy, because we're only like 3-4 years removed from that. So... yeah, she probably just took some influence from it and started using it. Also, Rey's in WWE at this point. It's like 2003.
It's 2004. Don't get me wrong. I know there are moves that people repeat, right? Like, I get it. Lots of people do spine busters. Everybody took Jake's DDT. Like, I get that.
Io Shirai does the 619.
It's still shocking when, like, Rey is, like, he's about to do his second prime. And there's just somebody else being like, I can do that. Just doing a 619. I think that's great.
I love that Logan, doesn't Logan Paul do a 619 now? It's like a
Feel like Logan's gimmick is like, he's just going to be like, that's a cool move, I can do that. I do love that
he's got all of Hangman Page's offense.
I do like that he does a more consistent buckshot lariat than Adam Page. Not a better one,
no,
but a more consistent one.
It's not more consistent. Everyone just gets caught up on the CM Punk match. It's not more consistent.
Fair
Hangman
enough.
Hits it every single time.
I think what it is, though, is Paige does it so much more often, whereas we don't see Logan as often, that in our mind we're like, Logan's like 4-for-4, whereas
he's
Adam
also
Page
bigger.
Is like, Adam Page is like 89-for-91, and we're like, oh, he fucks up. So we're just waiting.
It's because Hangman is like, what is he, like 6'1", something like that, whereas Logan's like pretty tall. He's like 6'4", 6'5". He's kind of jacked. Pretty athletic looking too. Hangman's got a little bit of a gut going, which I think
Adam Page
just
is listed at 6 feet. Solid. Yeah. Logan Paul.
Whereas Logan's a big boy.
Logan Paul is a big boy. Logan Paul doesn't have his height on his page because instead it says that he has 23.6 million subscribers. Cool.
I love that. But yeah, you could obviously tell he's like 6'4", 6'5".
He's 1.88 meters. I fucking hate it here. Canada,
1.88 meters.
Apparently he's 6'2".
He is not 6'2".
I'm on
Him
Celebrity
going
Heights.
Up against Roman. He was taller than Roman.
I'm on CelebrityHeights.com, and he's apparently 6'2".
He was literally taller than Roman Reigns, unless they're lying about Roman's height.
I am putting myself on Celebrity Heights at 5'9", because I'm not caught. All right? I'm just going a little higher.
Whatever Celebrity Heights says for Lionel Messi, make that your height.
Yes. There we go. I'm okay with that. Crescent debuted in OVW in June of 2006 under the ring name ODB, her gimmick being a woman who was tough, loud, and a crude bar girl. Yeah.
That's just her gimmick for the rest of her life.
And then she rides that for the rest of time. On July 12th, 2006, so right after she debuts, she starts declaring herself the women's champion, even though OVW did not have a women's championship at the time. She reportedly cut promo saying she was the new women's champion, and OVW owner Danny Davis just conceded and recognized the women's title as an official title. So she manifested being the OVW women's champion.
Is it that Danny Davis?
I think it's that Danny Davis. I'm going to double check.
From the Hart Foundation matches that we would watch?
It is 100% that Danny Davis.
Wow.
Dangerous Danny Davis / Mr. X. Yeah. So ODB becomes women's champion out of fucking sheer willpower, which
is
impressive.
She put on her vision board.
Just women's champion. And then it happened. So we're going to look at a match from a couple of months later, October 14th, 2006. It's a triple threat match. ODB versus Katie Lee Burchill versus Beth Phoenix for the OVW Women's Championship, held at this point by Beth Phoenix. Phoenix had taken it off of Serena Deeb a few weeks prior, who had beaten ODB for it. So those are the first three champions in order. ODB, Serena Deeb, Beth Phoenix. Honestly, pretty good title lineage.
Yeah, and I think ends up with Katie Lee Burchill a little down the line. I think she might be next up.
I'm looking at the list of who had it next. So next after this in terms of winning is a reign not officially recognized by OVW because it happened during a gauntlet match by Alicia Fox, and then Beth gets it back. It then goes Katie Lee, ODB. It goes to Rosa Mendez, Katie Lee again.
Oh, fell down the cliff real quick.
It goes to Josie, who was under in TNA as a Sojourner Bolt, who I don't know. Serena again. A couple other people who don't have Wikipedia pages before eventually going to Hannah Blossom. Apparently the Blossoms were an impact.
We fell down a cliff after Katie Lee Burchill.
We have lost the plot until it goes to Taylor Hendricks in 2011. Then we kind of find a path again. So, you know, I prefer 2006 OVW women's wrestling. Anyways, what do you think of the match? What do you think of watching
I thought
this
was interesting.
It's pretty good.
Specifically, Beth Phoenix in this, where she is like a super chicken shit heel.
She's still the same, like, Glamazon. Like, she's big. Like, she's strong.
She's even wearing the thing in her head, I think.
Yeah, and it says Glamazon on her pants. However, she's just avoidant, which is not the Beth that we know from the main roster. It's very interesting. Katie Lee,
so weird.
Very strong babyface vibes, like, fighting from underneath a lot. ODB kind of fill in the tweener role here.
Well, tweener in a sense, but I think she's an out-and-out babyface. She's just like Katie Lee Burchill is someone that you would put in high society and she could probably hold her own. ODB is not someone that you could put in high society.
No.
She is like Jake Peralta talking to Kevin.
I read The New Yorker too.
What were your thoughts on that human trafficking article? Trafficking is good.
he went pro human trafficking, which is a bold stance. Beth Phoenix early on talking trash, baiting both Katie and ODB to charge at her. ODB and Burchill with a double takedown of Phoenix and a clothesline. We get a double hip toss, delayed scoop slam by ODB, and then Phoenix breaks up the pin. Early on, it's a lot of them teaming up on Beth Phoenix, but then ODB with a giant back rake to Katie Burchill.
No, it wasn't a back rake. It was just a slap.
It was just a slap.
Slapped her in the back.
I had written in my notes as a slap
sound. Yeah, you could hear it.
I wrote in my notes as a slap, and I'm like, well, it can't just be a slap. It's probably like a slap and a scratch.
Well, it's just a slap. It's kind of like a slap, and then she just like kept her hands going down.
That's fair. ODB with the follow-away slam to Katie. Looks great. But then Beth Phoenix sneaks on to try to get the pin as ODB was doing this. She was doing the, like, brushing your hands with it. I thought that was good.
ODB does the what we later will refer to as the Dirty Dozen, which is the head banging off of the top turnbuckle.
ODB is seated on the top turnbuckle. She has the person standing in front of her at the top turn or at the corner and runs their face into the turnbuckle 12 times. That's it. Yeah.
And then there's like a weird little like leaping bulldog kind of thing. She jumps off the top rope and ends up hitting a bulldog of sorts.
Doesn't get all of it.
Doesn't get all of it, but you know what? It's still a bulldog technically.
When there's a commercial break, when we get back from commercial, ODB has Burchill in a bear hug. ODB allowed to do bear hugs. I know you and I are
very strong upper body. That woman,
very set amount of people who can do bear hugs. ODB very much allowed to do bear hugs, especially against some of the women in this division.
Beth Phoenix, if she wanted to put a bear hug on somebody, could do it.
Go listen to our Beth Phoenix episode. We have done a Beth Phoenix episode before. So
good episode. I liked it.
It was a good episode. Pretty much, I love all of our women's wrestling episodes. We should probably do more.
I mean, we do. We do a fair amount of women's wrestling.
We do. We do.
The issue, I feel like, don't jump on us, listeners, because the reason why we have to for every one women's match, throw like 5-6 men's matches on there is just because there's significantly less women's wrestlers with a catalog to cover on this podcast than there are men.
As much as we want to,
it's just now that we're diving quantity.
in Now that we're diving into more Stardom and All Japan Women's Wrestling, though, it opens up a lot more for us. Plus, we still have some like 2000s, 2010s, and eventually we're going to get into like the horsewomen and things like that. So there's still lots of women's wrestling to cover, which is awesome.
Yes. We get Rosa Mendes eventually.
We will. We get stacked sleepers. I love this spot.
Yeah, the sleeper chain. Oh, yeah. So cool.
So Phoenix has one on Burchill. Burchill has one on ODB, who breaks it up by running both women directly into the corner behind her.
Yeah, Beth then removes the turnbuckle from that exact corner.
Because she's a heel.
Because she's a heel, and the ref is dealing with that whole thing. And then, like, the two baby faces hit a weird like leg somersault thing that I did not know how to refer to that in any capacity. I've never seen something like that before.
In my notes, it says, I have no idea what to call this. It's a four. So essentially they both have her with a leg lock. She's on her back on the ground. They have her legs and they put one leg within their own, like wrapped around their own legs, do a somersault, which then flips Beth Phoenix into the air, landing on her back. I don't know where you think of that, but it's the really vibes. Cool. The vibes are what real.
It is. It's vibes. That is the whole move. Katie Lee hits a backbreaker for a near fall.
Yeah.
Then there's a Tower of Doom spot with Beth at the bottom of it. She gets a near fall on Katie Lee. Beth then, like, the ref is distracted by the turnbuckle and like a whole bunch of stuff going on. Beth is on the outside creeping with her women's title. She ends up hitting Katie Lee with it, gets into the ring, tries to go for the pin, but ODB breaks it up. And then we get to the finish.
Which is weird, and I want to talk about it. So Beth has ODB up, and then Serena, who, again, had just lost the title to Beth recently, is here and spears Beth. Beth gets the win in a triple threat by DQ.
I don't like it.
It's interesting, because I have been trained, as we all have been, to say that, you know, there's no disqualifications in triple threats. The championship advantage is really much smaller. However, there's a DQ finish here, which is weird. And it's also the reason that we even got that belt spot in the first place is because at one point Beth grabbed a chair and the ref was getting rid of the chair. Like, that was the whole thing he was doing. And that's how she could hit the belt shot on Burchill. It's a triple threat. Shouldn't they be allowed to do whatever they want?
I don't like it.
I'm sure it furthers the feud between Serena and Beth, and that's good. It's just an interesting precedent set by OVW. Also, on the barricades around the ring, there's an advertisement for what I think is the perfect wrestling sponsorship to do, and that is Six Flags Kentucky is the sponsor for OVW.
Six Flags New England. If you want to sponsor this podcast, you can do so at any time. I
think there is a weirdly strong overlap between wrestling fans and theme park fans.
Let me tell you something. I would go every summer with my dad and my brother, and we would get the season pass with our pictures taken. We'd have the little card, everything. My dad actually sent me a picture of the one that he found from 2005 the other day. And yeah, we'd go every summer. The beginning of the summer, we'd go. Like, literally, I think it would be like the weekend after Labor Day or whenever they would open. We'd go, we'd get our season pass, and then we'd probably end up going like 4 or 5 times throughout the summer.
Yeah.
Loved it. Loved it every single time. I'm a big theme parks guy. It's just unfortunate that like not many people in my life are, because I love to get on anything. I'll get on anything. As long as I feel like it's safe, like I won't get at Six Flags New England specifically. I won't get on the Scream, which is like the elevator ride where they like, you're like sitting with the thing, your legs are dangling, and then it just goes up and down and up and down. So I got on it one time and one time only, and I heard a screech super loud at one point that just did not sound natural. And then, oh, wouldn't you know, after we finished the ride, they shut down the ride for the next few hours.
Yeah. I see, that's the thing is, I like theme parks, but I'm not a rides guy. I don't need the
you're a water park guy?
I do love water parks. That's fair. I do love a good water park, but I'm a carny at heart. I love the games, baby. Give me all the games and give me a funnel cake.
The thing is, you have to pay for all of them. Like, it's way more than you want, and it's like you already paid like $50 to get it. So you're just gonna spend another like $100 just playing carny games.
In my core, I like fairs more because it's you don't have to pay to get in. You can just go buy like a funnel cake or a candy apple or whatever, and then go to the games. Like that's like my
I'm a rides guy. I'm a rides guy through and through.
But I do think there's a weird thing where wrestling fans, truly, there's a lot of overlap between wrestling fan and theme park fans.
It's because we like the adrenaline of it, but we don't want to take a bump.
That's true. I definitely don't want to take a bump off of a fucking roller coaster. All right. We're going to take a break. When we get back, we are looking at ODB going to TNA. Back from the break, during her time in OVW, this is from her Wikipedia specifically, ODB gained praise from her matches, from peers and from trainers and things like that. But Johnny Ace thought she didn't fit with the WWE Divas division. Go figure. Triple H encouraged ODB to sign with TNA, saying that it would be a better fit for her. Shout out to Triple H for helping somebody in their career. Great call. Cressa was contacted by TNA to appear at their annual pay-per-view Bound for Glory, made her in-ring debut at the event, participating in a 10-knockout gauntlet match to crown the first-ever knockout champion. She was eliminated. The match was won by... Who was the first-ever knockouts women champion? Do you remember?
Was it Gail Kim?
It's Gail Kim. Good job.
Let's go.
Originally, ODB was brought in to be a villain, but she was too popular because the like her drunk abilities that she would gain from drinking out of the flask and her energy just got her too much of positive reactions. They had to turn her face.
Yeah,
it's just the way it worked. January of 2008, Kong, Awesome Kong, attacked Gail Kim after Kim was named the 2007 Knockout of the Year. ODB made the save, which leads to this match versus Awesome Kong at Against All Odds 2008. For the Knockouts Championship. This is the recommendation this week for me.
Really?
I think it's pretty good.
Okay. I think it's good. I don't know what my recommendation is this week. I just kind of want people to watch all of it.
That's the thing is you can watch all these in an hour, like under an hour. You can watch all of these clips at regular speed. I think in terms of the match, this is the most over ODB is that you'll hear. I think you're right. Like she's pretty over in the next match too, but I think that.
But the next match is a very specific, special circumstance that we'll talk about shortly. But yeah, I would say this match, I guess. But honestly, watch it all. Take in the whole ODB experience. There's also like a. I think Impact has like a 60 minutes of ODB thing on YouTube. That's really freaking good.
Great.
You could just go in there whole hour, put the thing on like to 1.5, 1.75 speed and just enjoy ODB. She's great.
Speaking of things that are great, this is TNA six-sided ring era. Nice. It's what it's supposed to be.
Peak.
I don't know why this question came up, but I saw his face. Rudy Charles, senior referee. TNA, right?
I have no opinions on Rudy Charles.
That was what I was going to say. It was like, do you have like a WWE? Do you have like a WWE comp for Rudy? Is this somebody who's like, just always been there? Like, is it like a John Cone?
Who's that guy in WWE with the eyebrows that was in NXT for a while?
Oh,
like he just is like a he like takes care of himself, you know?
That's Danilo, right?
Yeah, something like that. It's like he's there. You know him. Like if you were to ask me what his name was, I don't know it. Like he doesn't have. He's been in. He's had some iconic performances and matches. I think he was the referee for the Sasha Bailey match. But like, you know, I'm not going to remember him in 20 years. That's just exactly how I feel about Rudy Charles. Like he's not Mike Chioda. He's not like. Any of these other people, like he's not Aubrey for AEW, like
yeah,
it's just not like cool. He's there, but he's not. He's just not that guy.
Danilo Anfibio.
It's a great name.
It's a great name.
Is that a shoot name?
I don't know.
I hope it is.
I hope it is too. Yeah, shout out to Danilo. Awesome. We'd love to have you on the pod. I just want to know what your skincare routine is. How do you
truly?
Do that?
It glows. It looks great. It's flawless.
So great.
As someone who's on Accutane right now, I'd really appreciate it.
Yeah. So this match starts. ODB, like this is ODB not backing down. I think that's what I like about this most.
Yeah.
Pretty much every other Awesome Kong match that I know of from this era is the women being like, "How do I outsmart? How do I, you know, be faster than her? What do I have to do?" ODB's like, I can take her. And it's just trying to lift her up. It's just trying to push her over. She's like, I can get this.
Yeah, I mean, she just be jittery and she just be drinking her liquor. And you know what? We love her for it. She just matches everything that Kong does. So Kong goes in for a forearm shot, ODB rebounds and hits a forearm shot. Kong goes in for a punch, ODB comes in for a punch. Like, she is just matching her. ODB slides out. She also gets, I think she slides out. She gets in the manager's face. I always forget her name. It's like
Raisha Saeed.
Raisha, that's her name.
Raisha Saeed.
ODB is like trying to, like you said, she's trying to lift Kong up. No success whatsoever on those. Kong gets her to the outside and then just whips her into the barricade. Does it again. It's pretty much just Kong on top for a little bit here until she goes for an awesome bomb. ODB slips out of it, but she just can't get any of her offense in because it's Awesome Kong. And if you know anything about Awesome Kong's run in the mid to late 2000s in TNA, ain't nobody beating her not named Gail Kim.
ODB ducks a spinning back fist and then tries a Thez press, but she sticks to her like a cartoon character who hits a stop sign. Like, she's just stuck on her and cannot move.
Like Coyote when he hits the mountain.
Yeah, exactly. Also, I don't know if you know this. I know we've talked about Raisha Saeed before because of the Awesome Kong episode. Do you remember who portrays her in TNA?
No idea.
It's Cheerleader Melissa.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Cheerleader Melissa being wasted like this?
I don't know, but that was Cheerleader Melissa in there, like that. And obviously, we know her from Shimmer. We know her a little bit from TNA, Lucha Underground. Yeah, she was Raisha Saeed.
She's awesome. Yes. Cheerleader Melissa had a stretch for about 3-4 years there where you could legitimately say she was the best women's wrestler in the world.
Yeah, I think we did this with the PWF 100 where we said, like, she was the top woman for a couple of years. And we were like, oh, yeah, that's not a surprise.
That's not a surprise at all. She's awesome.
Speaking of awesome Kong still in control here. ODB with some drop kicks, three of them, and then a middle rope Thez press finally knocks Kong down.
Which I popped. On. I don't know about you, but I was like, let's go.
It's such a simple concept, but anytime there's a monster or a hoss and somebody finally knocks them down, I will get excited. No matter what, I will get excited.
It doesn't even matter how they knock them down.
Like, it could be Omos and somebody gets him off his feet. And I'm like, yes, that's right.
Oh, that's what it's supposed to be. Damn it.
clothesline by Kong, implant buster. ODB kicks out of the implant buster. I was like, okay, that's nice.
That was sick. By the way, implant buster is such a great move. I'm happy that it's getting a second life here with Jade Cargill. Yeah. Obviously, Beth Phoenix kept the legacy of it going, but now it's coming back with Jade, and I love it.
Kong up top, ODB with a kip up, because that go-go juice is kicking in, gets Kong from the top rope and slams her from the top rope. This is the biggest pop in any of the matches that we have.
Oh, yeah. And then she goes, she takes a swig of her drink, she's fired up, she's in there, she's jittery, she's like, oh, baby.
Yeah. doesn't last long. She digs into the flask, running chops. Saeed with the distraction. Kong gets a back fist in, which connects pretty hard.
God, she absolutely... I don't know how ODB was still standing after that shot, man.
Because it's two spinning back fists, or two regular back fists, and then the spinning one that connects really hard. I was like, okay. We get an awesome bomb. 3 count. Awesome Kong retains the Knockouts Championship. Don't worry. ODB would win many Knockouts Championships in her run. Yes. Do you know how many Knockouts Championships she has?
We said many, which concerns me because my number was 3 off the top of my head.
It's 4. So you were close. Ugh. Yeah, she has 4 runs with the Knockouts title. So there was a point where she was talking about, this is a little bit after, she cut a promo after, again, unsuccessfully challenging at Against All Odds for Awesome Kong's title the next year. So they literally back-to-back Against All Odds had ODB lose to Awesome Kong for the title. After the 2009 version, she cut a promo saying one lucky guy is going to spend the night with her, and at Destination X, she chose Cody Deaner as her date. Deaner became her manager, and at Lockdown, ODB won the Queen of the Cage match, which contested in Steel Cage. At Hard Justice, her and Deaner faced Angelina Love and Velvet Sky in a tag team match with Angelina Love's Knockouts Championship on the line. Deaner pinned Sky, which led to ODB being the new Knockouts Champion, But then Diener started saying he was the Knockouts champion. Were you watching during this storyline?
I was, yeah.
What did you think watching this when it was happening?
I was like, "What? Why does this dude want this title right now? What are we doing here?" Because I would have been 2009. That was like, I mean, lockdown would have been relatively earlier on in the year. So I would have been, let's see, what am I going to be this year? 27. I would have been, so I'm 26 now.
You were 12.
15 years ago. I would have been like 11, 12 range.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have been like 12, 13, turning 13. So I was like, just what's going on here? Why does he want the girls' title? Like, I was so confused.
The way that I thought about it, and I want you to know, I want you to tell me if this is a good way to think of it for WWE non-TNA fans, is that this is Nydia Jamie Noble, but a more capable Nydia and slightly higher stakes. A more idiotic Jamie Noble.
Kinda, but the problem was that Diener wasn't really like a guy. Like,
no, he literally just shows up in TNA for this and then comes back years later.
Yeah, he's there now, I think.
Yeah.
But like, it's just one of those situations where it's like, she's the Jamie Noble in this circumstance.
Yes.
Like, it's her. She's the main attraction, and then Diener is there. He's pretty much the lackey. And the lackey wants the gold for some reason, even though, you know, he's not in that division. It just doesn't make sense. I thought that this was like the beginning of them kind of devaluing the Knockouts title a little bit. Because there's a phase here from like 2009 to like 2013 range. Kind of like, honestly, when Mickey James kind of elevates it a little more back up, I think is around like 2013. I think that's when the title really started to get its luster back, but there was a stretch here, honestly. And this is like, if I'm remembering it correctly, this is probably where it started, where it just goes here. Then it's like Velvet Sky gets the title eventually. And I'm like, Velvet sucks.
Yeah. So ODB has won it already. Like, she wins it at Hard Justice, in this match with Cody, with, Diener. And then her second reign technically is after this match. Spoilers, ODB wins the match. She is the Knockouts champion.
Yeah.
Then she trades it with Tara for a bit. That's kind of the last little bit. Then it becomes Angelina Love and Madison Rain training it. And then Mickie James gets it for the first time in 2011. So that's kind of good. And then 2013 is when we get a run of Mickie, ODB, Gail Kim, little bit of Madison Rain mixed in. But then we also get like Brooke Tessmacher. We get Jade, aka Mia Yim.
Yeah.
It's a
good run. Like, Brooke Tessmacher is, that one was hit or miss. She had some cool spots, but she wasn't very good. Yeah. And then Jade gets it. Like, I don't think her reign was very long. I remember Jade getting it, and once Jade got it, it was like fine. But that 2013 run you were talking about, where the title went from Mickey to, just started bouncing around ODB and Madison Rain by that point was competent enough where it was like fine, she could be champion. But yeah, there was like a 3-4 year stretch there where the title just kind of lost a lot of its luster, and it really did start with the storyline, unfortunately. Yeah.
So the promo package before this match is outstanding. Just for some of the lines in it, Mick Foley makes the match while dressed like a judge, so that's fun. I like that for Mick. ODB keeps calling it the knocked up title.
Well, she's knocked up. What do you want me to tell you?
That's great. Great movie. Katherine Heigl, Seth Rogen. Great flick. Diener says he'll be the only champion who doesn't pop a squat. Okay.
I don't understand what that means.
Well, women squat to pee. Obviously. Oh. Yeah.
Right.
I'm happy I can teach you about the birds and the bees.
Okay, so here's the thing. Are you telling me that you don't just sometimes just pop a squat just because you're like, I don't want the splash to go everywhere?
No.
Oh, I do. Sometimes I'll just pop a squat just so the splash doesn't, especially at night.
I think the only time that I've done that is when I pulled a hammy and literally standing sucked. And I was.
No, here's the thing. Sometimes I'll do it honestly so that there's not that much noise.
Oh, like, so you're a kind, considerate person.
Yeah, you're Canadian.
I just aim for the bowl part, not the water part.
Then it leads to a lot of splash, and then there's just, you know, we get residuals all over the splash zone.
You know what? You bring up some valid points here.
Now you're like thinking about it, and you're like, damn, he's got a good point here. He's bringing up a good case.
Welcome to Crossbody of Piss. All right. So, Diener, solid Canadian boy, is here, which is exciting. I love that he's played. Love that he's played like a redneck, but he's a Canadian. I find
they got rednecks up there in Canada.
Alberta, baby. huge pop on the entrance for ODB. ODB is so popular here.
So incredibly over. It's insane.
She wipes her ass with Diener's t-shirt and his hat. He's running out of clothing items.
Yeah, she is slapping tits like crazy early on here, by the way.
I will say, she's spamming taunt as she gets to the ring. She's just
hell yeah.
Just smacking her boobs constantly. This match is fun. It's a very fun match.
I mean, she's chopping the hell out of Diener. He starts begging off. She hits a thes press from the top rope to the outside, which I thought was great. She does a dirty dozen, but it's only like four or five of them because Diener pulls her legs from underneath her. Yeah.
I can't believe you skipped by Diener going for a low blow, celebrating like he's won the World Cup. Meanwhile, ODB is behind him being like, nothing happened, and she's just jittery and ready, turns around and gets smoked.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
Diener with a body slam for a near fall. Diener drinks the flask and goes for a flying double axe handle, but ODB just grabs him by the junk.
Just a handful of nuts. Just
which commentary goes, I think Tanay just says she's got the iron claw to his private region.
Oh, Fritz von Erich somewhere just thrilled. Like, yeah.
Well, Fritz is dead by this point. So.
Somewhere in the atmosphere, just thrilled, you know?
Dirty Dozen does finally connect with it. Thes press for a near fall. Diener goes for a pin on the ropes. And the ref obviously catches him. And he goes at it with the ref back and forth, like, hey, what's going on? Blah, blah, blah. This leads to a roll up by ODB for a near fall.
Yeah, after the ref pushes Diener, because Diener's like, I'm going to put my finger wherever I want, and puts it right in his shoulder, and the ref pushes him, which leads also to Diener stopping a sunset flip, and he reaches out and grabs the ropes, and he looks at the ref, and he says, you got to break it, you idiot. And so the ref kicks his hands free. I was like, I love this. Everyone's like, fuck Diener. This is awesome. Yeah, fuck
Diener. Diener hits a finisher, which I guess is a knockout punch. It looks very similar to the Logan Paul knockout
punch. My understanding is he hasn't hit yet in TNA and has been talking up as being like a knockout punch and being awesome. And ODB kicks out at two.
Yeah. Diener misses a splash. ODB hits a TKO. 1-2-3. ODB wins the knockout title.
I know I said the Awesome Kong match was my recommendation. In terms of like the actual like seeing ODB as a wrestler, that's probably the best one to watch.
Yeah, this is the most entertaining. This from video package to this end celebration. This is the best thing this week. That's why I didn't want to say like the Awesome Kong thing. Everyone should watch everything. By the way, it's all good stuff.
It's all good.
But
stuff.
But that Diener match specifically, watch the entire clip. It's like 11 minutes total,
and
or
it's
something
so
like that.
Fun.
It's so fun.
One thing I like about Diener, just to talk about it for a brief, is that unintentionally or not, like I'm pretty sure that is Cody. That might be, it's not his real name. His real name's Christopher Gray. But Cody Diener.
Could not be any more different.
Cody Diener. Diener is the most accurate nickname you could give somebody in Canada. And that's because you don't know this because you don't watch hockey, nor do you participate in hockey culture at all. If you ask a bunch of hockey players, like, what's your nickname? It's always, like, your last name with an or a Z, right? So, like, I'd be, like, Gomer or Gomzy. Like, that would be the only way I get nicknames. She'd be, like, Gomzy. Meller. They'd be, like, oh, yeah, here comes Meller, but absolute wheel snipe Selly on you on the fucking back check, you beaut. Like, it's a whole other language. I want to study
also, Meller? It's Mellow.
Yeah, but no, but they'd always add the ER, right? Oh, yeah, Meller played fucking great out there, bringing the intensity out on the blue line. You know, we can't do it without him, but we got to keep pucks out of our own end because if we don't, you know, we're leaving our goalie out to dry.
Melosi was right there.
But that's too many syllables. But literally everybody gets an ER. If you ask, because you know how they had like the nickname jerseys in basketball?
Yeah.
If you did that in hockey, it would just be everyone's fucking last name with ER or SY. That's right, it.
Well, what the fuck is Connor McDavid? Is he just all Connor McDavesky?
Probably. Ask all the boys in the locker room, bud. They probably call him McDavy, probably.
They should call him McGoat.
He is the McGoat. All right, we're going to take our last break now that we've dissected hockey culture. When we get back, we got ODB as a heel. Back from the break, ODB turned heel on December 10th of 2009. Do you remember, you know who she attacked to turn heel?
Wasn't it Velvet Sky?
It was Tara. It was Tara, actually. It was Victoria. On December
20th. Tara was a babyface? I swear to God, she was a heel.
In my mind, she's always heel, too. At Final Resolution, ODB lost the Knockouts title to Tara. On June 14th, 2010, Cressa announced on her Twitter account she'd parted ways with TNA, but she came back in May of 2011 on the new Impact Wrestling by attacking Velvet Sky, and that leads to this promo where Velvet Sky calls out ODB. For those who don't know, explain Velvet Sky.
Man, one of the Bellas from like 2013-14.
Okay, that's a same fair thing. Comp.
It's honestly just like the same thing. Like,
kind of mean girl-ish. Like
mean girl-ish, you know, very like, I don't want to tarnish the Bellas' legacy because I do think they are fantastic and they absolutely earn their spots. But I also believe that in wrestling, where there's smoke, there is fire. And there is a whole lot of smoke in the sleeping to their way to the top thing.
Mm. Velvet Sky also was one of the beautiful people.
It also happens with Velvet.
Velvet Sky like was one of the beautiful people. Like that's a faction that people know and have heard of in TNA. She was one of them with Madison Rayne. And there's another one, Angelina Love. I could not remember her name for the life of me. So Velvet is out here talking about how there's some unfinished business to attend to because there was a sneak attack last week. Says that sneak attack shit doesn't fly with her. I love that ODB comes out with no music. She just walks out. I mean, she just comes out.
She also looks like a hippie, which I like, kind of like.
Yeah, I had to check to see if she had shoes on at first because she has sandals, I think.
I mean, listen, it works. It tracks.
It tracks. It's fair. Velvet's asking why she attacked her, what her problem is. ODB talks about how she got a call from management a year ago and that she's getting fired and trying to think, was it because of my talent or my bad attitude? No, very much insert the Skinner meme from Simpsons. Like,
no,
am I wrong? It's the children who are wrong. Because ODB says it was Velvet who got her fired.
Velvet refutes it. Says she's always getting picked on, even though she's earned her spot.
The crowd eats that line up, by the way. The crowd like gets really loud for that line. Like they're behind Velvet, 100%. Sure.
And ODB. Well, it's because she broke off from the beautiful people. And we hate the beautiful people.
We hate the beautiful people.
So ODB says, yeah, if you call working your ass off by laying on your back. She says Velvet slept her way to the top. She said that she grinds her booty tang on the ropes. What? You break a sweat doing that?
I thought that was
her pathetic.
Funny.
She says she's plastic and a little, well. And she goes, and she's a little, well, big silicone. Because Velvet has implants.
She says you're going to cry, and then I'll give you something to cry about, you bitch, and clocks her and lays in some shots. My favorite thing is normally when somebody does that, you immediately can't hear them on the microphone, but the way ODB is holding it, you hear every single line as she's leaning in to punch her.
Yeah, because it's like, beneath her mouth.
Yeah, she's like, I'll give you something to cry about, you bitch, and just clocks her. ODB with some rights, she stays on top. Velvet gets no offense in whatsoever. The punches are not awesome, but that's fine. It's a brawl. Like whatever.
It's a promo brawl, whatever.
Security comes out. And then did you hear the line at the very end of the promo package?
Oh, I didn't.
Velvet Sky yells, "What's your problem?" And ODB goes, "Whores like you are my problem." I was like, okay, battle lines are drawn. That's fine. That's the way it's going to go.
It's a bar, low key.
It's kind of a bar. There would be a feud where ODB would team up with Jacqueline, and
Lone
Sky would team up with Brooke Tessmacher, I believe. And that would kind of be the teams battling it out there. So yeah, not bad. ODB had a couple of other storylines in the 2010s. There was an alliance with Eric Young that lasted a long time. Like, they were an on-screen couple and things like that. There would be some time where she was away from TNA. She made it to the semifinals of the wildcard tournament with Eric Young, which I thought was really cool. There was the marriage proposal from Eric Young. There was a 4-month absence where she returned as the referee for Knockouts in April 2013. She was like their designated referee. After that, also ODB and Eric Young were the Knockouts tag team champions for 478 days.
Yeah.
They were the last ones, I think. And then Brooke
Hogan.
That
was kind of the point where I stopped watching TNA.
Knockouts division commissioner Brooke Hogan stripped them of the titles because they were like, yeah, what are we doing here? There would be some ROH appearances by ODB teaming with the Briscoes against the Kingdom. So that was cool.
So is that All Out, I think, or All In?
There would be some one-off TNA appearances, some AEW appearances, All In appearance. And then back to TNA for Sacrifice 2021, a Knockouts title match against Deonna Purrazzo. An ODB match without a crowd feels so wrong.
So wrong. I hated that. I had to mute commentary because it's Josh Matthews. No, it's Matt Stryker, isn't it? Actually, I can't even tell anymore.
It's
Stryker and Pope, and I want nothing to do with that. So I muted commentary. And it's also just like seeing her there. Like, ODB is one of those wrestlers that kind of feeds off of the energy the crowd gives her. And if there's no crowd, it's just kind of weird.
Yeah. So much of what she does is to get the crowd invested. Like, she's a party starter. That's the best thing I can think of. Like, certain wrestlers get the crowd fucking hyped. And ODB is one of those people who gets the crowd fucking hyped. And like, that's what she needs to kind of get going. So without it, it's so weird.
It's really weird. I didn't like it. Deonna was great, though. This run that Deonna Purrazzo had specifically was one of the best runs the Knockouts title has had, I will say. She really carried it throughout the pandemic well.
Between Deonna and Jordynne Grace the last couple of years, like, the Knockouts title has been in very good hands. And Trinity won it, right? Yeah.
Trinity won it, yeah. She won it relatively quickly into her run, and then she dropped it back to Jordan.
Back to Jordan. Great trio. Same with Mickie James, Hardcore Country. Like, some really good Knockouts championship runs in the last little while.
Yeah. Actually, I think this title run that Deonna has ends with the Mickie James title win. Yeah.
So, a few corner breakups, ODB with a chest bump coming out of the corner, back suplex by ODB, a few dodges, ODB, there's like a distraction. I don't know who Deonna's kind of managers / teammates are.
So it's Sue Young, who I think is in her like human phase. So she's going by Susan.
Right.
And then it's Kimberly.
Okay. Yeah. There's some distractions. The ref clearly sees the spin kick by Kimberly.
Yeah, so obvious.
It's right in front of him. So he's like, yeah, you two have to leave. Like, what are you doing here?
Get out of here right now.
Kicked her in the face.
It's so obvious. Deonna just then starts dissecting ODB. Because Deonna's a very grounded, like, mat-based performer. Which I'm really excited for a match against Toni Storm. I actually think it's genuinely going to be a very good match. And I loved the production on Dynamite. I think it was Dynamite last night.
Yes.
Where
they
like split the camera. The screen. So it's colored, but like in like a, has like a hue to it for Deonna because she's like the virtuosa. She's like a very aristocratic type of performer. So she's got like a little bit of a hue to her side. And then it's just the black and white for Tony. And it's literally split in half on a live shot. It's great.
I thought it was outstanding work. I will say that it's one of the most notable things you can see if you've been watching AEW from the beginning, is that production does continue to get a little bit better every time.
Yes. Yes.
It's a little better every time. Because that's the big that was the biggest thing when AEW started versus WWE, is the production gap. They're closing it, even though WWE also gets better, especially now that Kevin Owens not there.
Oh my God. They've had some one shots and some like shots where they go from outside of the arena into straight through the concourse in and right into the crowd. I thought that was so freaking cool.
Some good stuff.
And yeah, back into this match though. Deonna puts on an armbar. Her finisher is a Fujiwara armbar. She puts that on, and then you know that gets transitioned out of. She ends up putting an armbar over the ropes, which she only gets to hold for 5 seconds, but she does it.
It makes me feel the same way I always felt when Tajiri gets a lock in the tarantula, but then it never
with
it. Those
5 seconds, you're like, yeah,
I'm like, this move is sick. Peraza on top again. ODB with a throw from the top. ODB gets a shoulder block. She gets Deonna on the shoulder for a big power slam for the two counts. Like, ODB really playing the heavy to Deonna because she's much bigger, much stronger than Peraza. Even though Deonna is pretty strong for somebody who's as small as she is.
Yeah, she's like 5'1", 5'2". She's not a pretty short person.
We get to the finish pretty quickly. ODB with a middle rope splash. Peraza catches her in an armbar. Turns it into what I called the Rings of Saturn, but they called it something else.
I do not remember. It was like some Italian ass name that
I think it was the Milo de Venus. I think that's what it is.
Something like that. But she just traps both arms pretty much. It's like a double arm bar where she just traps both of them like super tight against each other. Yeah. You have to have really flexible shoulder blades for that one.
So it's called the Venus de Milo. And I'm going to tell you why you know this term, maybe. Are you a Simpsons person?
Love the Simpsons.
Do you remember the episode where Homer is bringing home the babysitter and she sat on a candy, so he reaches for it?
Oh my God, yeah.
That's a candy version of the Venus de Milo, the statue of the woman with no arms.
Yes,
that's the Venus de Milo.
It's like the gummy.
Yeah, it's the green gummy Venus de Milo. That is why we know what that term is. Oh my God. That is what... It's not named after the fucking Simpsons episode, but it is named after the statue.
That's hilarious. Wow. Okay.
I'm like, why do I know this?
Wait, because it's the statue of the woman with no arms.
Yeah. 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 And it's in the Louvre in Paris. Anyways, this is a good match.
That's great.
Shout out to Homer Simpson. ODB has, like, she's been around for a couple other things, but, like, pretty much she's been out of wrestling since around then. She had that return, like I said, in 2021. Aside from that, apparently she's worked as a bartender in Minnesota and runs a food truck called ODB's Meet and Greet. You can see lots of photos of it on her Instagram and on her Twitter.
I actually kind of want to try it because I feel like she cooks some damn good food.
I feel like she puts a lot of love in the food. And I want to try it.
She's just really like a redneck woman from Minnesota. I feel like she knows what the fuck she's doing with the meats over there.
I bet it'd be a really good time. Speaking of good time, I'm going to give my thoughts first because I'm the one less familiar with ODB.
Good.
What a powerful character performer. What a person who can just draw. Like, God, you get sucked in. You can see the crowd getting sucked in. I know that if I watched TNA, I would have immediately been drawn to ODB just for the energy and the character work. Great gimmick, solid in the ring, strong, like has a good moveset that is diverse enough without like being crazy spammy of some of the things they do. Like, she's kind of just in there to do the business. I understand why she's a multiple time Knockouts champion. What a good performer. God. Yeah. And honestly, I'm glad she was in TNA. I'm glad Triple H sent her, like I said, like, go do that. Much better locale for her and her gimmick than what the WWE Divas division was at that time.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? She really does remind me of like Austin. But if you made Austin a little more like sports entertainment, like that's really what it is. Like
you hammed up the gimmick a little bit.
If you ham it up like a lot, like that freaking like heel Austin run in 2001, where he's like super goofy with Kurt. Like if you just took that and you made a female version of it, and you really emphasized the alcohol portion of it, you got ODB, and like it's great. And obviously, I'm not comparing her to Austin as far as like impact or legacy. I'm talking strictly just the character itself. Like, that is what she is. And I think that is so great and so fun. And It's she's one of the best performers that company's ever had. And that is a big deal because the Impact women's / knockouts division has been the creme de la creme as far as women's wrestling goes outside of Japan for the last 20 years. Yeah. Like it's great stuff. And she's, in my opinion, an absolute legend. I don't know if she's already in the Impact Hall of Fame, but she absolutely will be one day.
She should be.
And she's just great. I'm so happy we got to do this because she is so just so fun. She's got the longevity. She's got the charisma. It was super hard to find a promo from her, which is why I had to pick that specific one because it was like the only one I could find. And, you know, her matches are good. Her matches are good. It's good stuff all around. I love it.
It's just good stuff. I love when it's just good stuff. I'm starting to think of this. Who's the most disappointed we've been when we've covered somebody on the podcast? Was it Greg Valentine?
The most disappointed?
Or was it Honky Tonk Man? I feel like it was one of those two.
I think it was Greg Valentine just because we knew what we were getting with Honky Tonk. Our expectations were not high.
We're so low
for that one. But for Greg Valentine, I mean, I feel like we had seen and heard enough of him
all the time that we were like, oh, he's probably really good.
Yeah, and then he just wasn't.
So disappointing. All right, time for the housekeeping stuff. You should follow us on social media at Crossbody of Work on Twitter, on Instagram. Be part of the now over 4,300 people following us on Instagram or the over 2,500 people who've joined us on Twitter. Follow Javier wherever he tells you right now.
I'm on the Twitter machine at JMelloSports. Lob the boy a follow.
You can follow me as well on Twitter at @itsevangomes, @itsevangomes. Most importantly, share this podcast with a friend. We have so many back episodes. I guarantee a wrestler that you and your friend like is in our back catalog. Share some of those episodes with them. If you know somebody who liked TNA, share this ODB episode with them. We'd be happy to get more listeners on the product. Also, be sure to rate 5 stars. It helps us out tremendously wherever you're listening. If you're watching on YouTube, hit subscribe, hit like. Do all of that as well. Cop the merch, fullpressshop.com. New merch coming soon to a theater near you. We will share the link when it is ready. Also, fullpresswrestling.com to see all of the links for this week's matches. All right. It's time to reveal who next week is. Next week is going to be a real good time. I'm excited
for
this one.
Next week, we're going to be peacocking like some motherfuckers. Let me tell you something.
We will be peacocking all over the place because next week we are looking into the career of Dalton Castle.
I love Dalton Castle. One of my favorite Ring of Honor wrestlers ever. Truly ever.
Yeah. Another strong gimmick.
Yeah, strong gimmick. Truly understands their gimmick to its furthest extent and just absolutely pushes it as far as he possibly can. A terrific performer and a guy whose career was just unfortunately wasn't able to get to that next level just because of an unfortunate injury. But as a guy who I love and I wish him nothing but the best moving forward, and I'm very excited to recap his career thus far.
We want to dive into ROH, and we figured why not pick one of the most extravagant characters in the history of Ring of Honor. So we're going to dive into Ring of Honor next week. All right. It's time for everyone's favorite part of the episode. Javier, any final words for the people?
This week on Life Advice with Javier, just like, you know, don't die. I mean, we're not rehashing that one. That was an all-timer, though. No, I mean, look, man. There's a lot of things that can be gained from just connecting with other people, you know, like whether it just be friendship, whether it just be, you know, an engaging conversation, a good time or whatever it is. You know, something for me today was like I was talking to my landlord and like, you know, we were just talking about her dog and talking about life and all this other stuff. And she just like threw out there like, hey, like, I know you want to do this one thing. Like, if you need any help with that, like, just let me know. And I was like, oh, I really appreciate that. Like, I didn't have to bring that up. She did. Yeah. And, you know, that's the beauty in connections in life. You know, they say that networking is a really strong tool and they're damn right about it. So if people are listening to this and they're in high school or college or whatever, like, don't be afraid to explore your networks, like, of other students, of professors, of people in other departments, of, like, alumni. Like, there are, you know, the worst thing that could happen is you reach out to someone and they say no, or they just don't respond. Like, a rejection is not the end of the world. The best thing that could happen, they say yes, and then you get like a really cool opportunity or a really cool advancement in whatever you're trying to get done. And that's just like awesome. For us as wrestling fans, like whether you are yourself a wrestler or someone who wants to get involved in wrestling in any way, like just start reaching out. Emails, phone calls, text messages, social media messages, whatever the case may be. Like just do it. Try to find connections wherever you can. And you know what? You'll have a better life because of it. You'll get further in life because of it. It really is important. So I cannot stress just how important those connections really are.
Just don't become one of those weirdos on LinkedIn who are like,
no,
I gave up my seat on a 13-hour flight because I demand the grind. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, don't be an ass. Just
I made people wait in the waiting room for 9 hours for an interview. Okay, cool.
Just be human, you know?
Don't be a weird LinkedIn flexer. That's the real advice this week. Don't be weird on LinkedIn.
Just be normal. Weird. Just if you have be a normal. Career progress, like if you get a new job or you get promoted, just be like, hey guys, there. This happened That's to fun. Me. That's cool. If you have like a job opening up at your place and you know that you have a network full of people that might be seeking a new opportunity or could be interested in it, throw that up there too if you want. But like, don't be weird.
That's the advice this week. Don't be weird. All right. We'll be back next week to talk about Dalton Castle. Also, check out our YouTube channel for our Elimination Chamber predictions. Elimination Chamber is happening as this podcast is going live, so you will see if we were right or if we were wrong. We'll be back next week to talk about Dalton Castle. We'll talk to you then.
Bye.